WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The world watches and waits for retaliation from Iran after the U.S. weekend strikes on three of its nuclear facilities. For now, back-and-forth missile strikes are ramping up between Iran and Israel. The BBC's Mark Lowen is in Tel Aviv.
Several explosions have been heard in Tehran. Israel says it is striking military targets in the Iranian capital, and Iran state media reports that electricity has been cut in northern Tehran.
A record-breaking heat wave is moving from Midwest to Northeast. These women are sweating it out in Philly.
It feels like it's more than 90 right now. It's really hot.
Hope my AC stays intact.
The Thunder beat the Pacers 103-91 in Game 7 of the Finals last night to take the NBA title for the first time since they relocated to Oklahoma City. Season and series MVP Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
I'm so proud of this group. I wouldn't have rather done it with any other group in the world. It feels good to be a champion.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Health Services is assuring residents that hospitals are required to provide life-saving abortion care when necessary. The reassurance comes following a statement by the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services that rescinds previous guidance on enforcing the Emergency Medical Treatment and Labor Act, or EMTALA. According to a press release from DHS Secretary Kirsten Johnson, the update to federal guidance will not change the requirement in Wisconsin, and hospitals are still obligated to offer necessary emergency care. Governor Tony Evers and the Wisconsin Housing and Economic Development Authority announced over $2.5 million in funding for workforce housing developments across the state on Thursday. The funding comes from the Vacancy to Vitality and Infrastructure Access Loan programs, which specifically aim to develop much-needed workforce housing. Most of the funding will be allocated to three workforce housing projects, including over $560,000 for a 27-unit workforce housing development in Chippewa County. Chippewa Valley residents held rallies in Eau Claire and Chippewa Falls on Friday, sharing warnings of further rural hospital closures if Medicaid is cut in the federal budget. It's been over a year since the abrupt closures of the HSHS hospitals, and area residents are still struggling with reduced access to health care as plans for new hospitals develop. One former doctor attending the Chippewa Falls rally warned that rural hospitals often treat lower-income residents and heavily rely on Medicaid funding, known as Badger Care in Wisconsin, to remain operational. A Ladysmith man has been sentenced to prison after stealing over $100,000 from his employer. According to Rusk County court documents, 27-year-old Lucas Jones was accused of stealing ATM cash deposits while an employee of the market at Ladysmith. The thefts occurred between May and December of last year, and authorities say he admitted to taking the money. He was sentenced to 4 years in prison and 3 years of extended supervision, and was also ordered to pay nearly $76,000 in restitution to the business. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
The Pirates come to town. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers and Pirates face off tonight at AmFam Field. Milwaukee with a 9-8 win over the Twins and a three-game sweep in Minnesota. The last time that happened was 1996. The Brewers now in second place, just 3.5 games behind the Cubs in the NL Central. The Cubs losing yesterday 14-6 to the Mariners. Racing, Alex Palou wins the Expel IndyCar Grand Prix at Road America in Elkhart Lake, becoming the first driver since A.J. Foyt in 1975 to win six of the first nine races of the season. NBA, Oklahoma City Thunder are the NBA champions after beating the Pacers in OKC in Game 7, 103-91. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander leading with 29 points, showing concern for the Pacers' Tyrese Halliburton, who suffered a torn Achilles tendon in the first quarter.
Like, I couldn't imagine playing the biggest game of my life and something like that happening. It's so unfortunate. It's not fair.
That's the Thunder's Shai Gilgeous-Alexander with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Partly to mostly cloudy with highs in the low to mid 80s today, and then we do have a chance of thunderstorms later this afternoon into this evening. Some of those could be strong to severe with hail, wind, even a tornado possible. So stay weather aware later today. Scattered thunderstorms mid 60s tonight, showers in the mid to upper 70s tomorrow. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
Right now it's 80.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. The Todd Albaugh Show.
The Joint Finance Committee was leaked that they intend to cut $87 million from the interview system budget. And so we put this out on our socials last night, and today the Joint Finance Committee decided to pull that from the agenda. Because apparently, from what I'm told, Republican legislators got a lot of calls. When the truth is disseminated and people react, results can happen.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local civic media radio station. And on the app, Maggie Dawn.
LGBTQ rights are under attack. At 4:30, Patrick Faribault from Our Lives Magazine joins to discuss what's at stake and how we celebrate Pride right here in Wisconsin. Don't miss the Maggie Dawn Show.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, good morning. It is 7:06. Nice to have you here up north on this Monday morning, June 23rd, 2025, the last full weekend of June of the quarter of this first half of 2025. Already. Coming up on the program, we're going to be talking to Tracy Ann Mangold. She's a former top official with the 8th Congressional District Republican Party and is going to talk about not just how a lot of traditional Republicans have left the party, but what's been left in its wake. And that includes a report over the weekend that the state Republican Party chair may be on the verge of being ousted because the Trump supporters who have essentially taken over the party are dissatisfied with the job that he's doing. So we'll talk about that a bit. Jimmy Cusco will be along to talk about sports. In our next hour, we will talk to State Representative Francesca Hong about the state budget process and what a process it is when folks who talk a good game about bipartisanship decide they don't want to when it suits them. Dr. Kristen Lyerly is here joining us from the nation's capital. Parker Olson is in Madison Studio A2. And meteorologist Brittany Merlot is here to tell us about the heat, the humidity, the rain that's come through. Some showers just moved through the Chippewa Valley here today or this morning. Kind of, Brittany, almost refreshing. You know, we needed a little shower after all that heat yesterday. Though I got to say, if you were in a shady spot and with that stiff wind of 20 miles an hour, it was not the ugliest, 100-degree heat index day you'd ever have.
No, it wasn't too bad. No. I liked the breeze. It helped. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, that mugginess, though, there's no escaping that unless you were in the AC or right up against Lake Superior. I'll tell you, temperatures down there in the mid-50s, even while further away, just into Ashland, temperatures were into those low to mid-90s. So some crazy stuff still going on. It's 54 degrees at Superior, Lake Superior, 82 degrees right now into Ashland. Our lows have been hovering in the 80s. The mugginess has been stuck here, and today is the last day. Like Pat had said, a cold front is moving through. It's sparking up a few showers into northwestern places of the state, and then is going to continue to push southeast. Now, as we go through this afternoon, as it hits the hot, humid air that's still down there, we're still looking at heat advisories for the south and eastern half of the state. So that continues until about 7 o'clock tonight. We're still looking at heat index reaching about the low 100s, temperatures in the mid 90s far southwest. Well, up north, it's in the upper 70s today. So yes, some free AC is on the way, but we've got to get through some storms that could potentially be strong to severe. Now those are going to start to fire up probably around a line from La Crosse, north to Winona or so, then kind of take that up towards Wausau, just south of Rhinelander, and then the whole Fox Valley, Sheboygan area to northern Milwaukee, and then you kind of cut that down towards Janesville. So all the areas in between, Madison, central Wisconsin, all of these places are in a slight risk from the Storm Prediction Center for these strong to severe storms, which at first are going to pack the potential for a tornado or two, or maybe some large hail. So that'll be around 1 to 2 o'clock this afternoon as that starts. And then as the line progresses this evening into the Fox Valley and Madison area, probably around 6 or 7 or so, straight line winds become a risk there. Maybe 60, 70 mile per hour wind gusts. And then it starts to fizzle out around Milwaukee around midnight. And then you think we're in the clear, but we're not. This front is going to be parking itself over the state, continuing to give us showers and storms. And flooding then becomes a potential as we go into Wednesday and Thursday with heavy rain still continuing. So torrential downpours out there today. High winds, definitely a risk. And then, of course, hail or tornado maybe early.
Okay, we'll pay attention to that forecast. Rob says, good morning from Tigerton. Sunny and 77 after an overnight low of 75 over the weekend. Tigerton had highs of 92 on Saturday, 95 on Sunday. He says he mowed the lawn on Saturday morning. Let's see. He mentions concrete buckling on a few areas along Highway 29 in Shawnee County, an accident along Highway 29 in the Wittenberg area that caused some major backups. He says he has to adjust his mowing schedule today. His truck is in the shop, supposed to be in Wittenberg mowing today, but he'll have to do yards in Tigerton where he keeps his other lawn tractor. It's always good to have one or the other. He says when he watered flowers on Main Street in Tigerton, it felt good handling the water without getting cold.
Yeah.
that would be one of the nice side effects of the heat wave like this. And says hi to his four favorite people on a Monday morning. Let's see. We mentioned Sonic the Hedgehog anniversary on this day in history. Tony says Sega was my console growing up. No Nintendo in my house. Sonic for life. Alicia, what? OMG. I remember playing Sonic when it first came out. And we were trying to discuss what is porridge. Tony has the answer here on YouTube. Porridge is trash, is what he has to say. So
tell us how you really feel, Tony, right?
Right. Brittany, thank you so much. Appreciate it. Have a great day. Yes. And we'll see you next hour for a little update on the forecast coming up as well. In sports, Parker Olson has the top story in sports, but we're going to bury that lead and tell you first that the Brewers were winners. They swept the Twins, swept all three games of that series, 9-8 yesterday. Reese Hoskins homered and doubled and drove in two runs. Bryce Turang hit a three-run homer. Caleb Durbin had three hits for the Brewers. They've now won four in a row. They're just 3.5 games back of the Cubs now. Jacob Mizorowski, fresh off pitching 5 no-hit innings in his first major league game, on Friday night against the Twins, took a perfect game into the 7th inning on Friday. So he had 11 total innings of no-hit ball to start a career. The first starting pitcher to do that since 1900. He will be pitching again Wednesday afternoon for the Brewers when they play the Pirates, and the Pirates will have their ace pitcher, Paul Skeens, on the mound. So Wednesday afternoon's game is going to be a big one at American Family Field. Not that take anything away from tonight's game. You can get coverage of that starting at 6:05 on several Civic Media stations. Head over to the website and learn more. But yeah, Jacob Mizorowski, pretty good pitcher. Parker Olson saw a pretty good pitcher at the Madison Mallards game over the weekend as well. An actual no-hitter, complete game all the way through.
Yeah, it was really exciting. It was like 4th or 5th inning, I think. I was in the press box working that camera, and everyone kind of like started going, hey, you should look at the scoreboard, but don't say anything. Because if we jinx this...
Don't ruin it.
Yeah, we're going to be in trouble if we mess this up.
Isaac Milburn was the pitcher's name, is the pitcher's name, I guess I should say. Where is he from?
He goes to Purdue. I believe he's actually from Kentucky.
Okay. So he did that. A 1-0 victory. How about that for run support?
Yeah.
He had 10 strikeouts and 2 walks. And was, really, really came in handy since the Mallards only managed 6 hits in the game. And that was always my worry for Jacob Mizorowski, was giving the kid, run support.
Yeah, it's usually the pitching or the bats for the Brewers, it feels like.
Yes, yeah. So anyway, so that had to be fun looking at that and going, you don't want to say anything because you don't want to jinx it. And then you go, wait a minute, what is a jinx anyway? But
oh, yeah.
We abide by it anyway.
Rob's comment about OKC. Did you watch that last night? That was fun.
No. I just dipped in briefly to see that Oklahoma City was well ahead and won the NBA title. First time they've won it in Oklahoma City. I still, yes, I know it's been 17 years. I still
think Seattle.
Think back. I still feel bad for Seattle for losing the Supersonics when that team won a title in 1979 and then relocated to Oklahoma City 2008, I believe it was. So congratulations, Oklahoma City, for having a little something to cheer about there as well. So.
Can we also send congratulations to Team Vitality that won the Blast TV Austin Major 2025 in Counter-Strike 2 in Austin, Texas over the weekend? Do you know people
do
that? What
the hell are you talking about?
How many of those words did you understand, Pat?
None. I just read it. 40,000 people went to Austin, Texas to watch people play a video game in like 9 hours a day of video game playing, including my oldest son, Abe, who loves this. And I do not understand. So if you gamers are out there, congratulations.
To all gamers, not to the, to all gamers.
Look, the first time that I heard about, you know, quote unquote, esports of just watching people play video games, obviously, I wanted to poo-poo it. And then, of course, people said, well, how's that any different than watching a football game or a baseball game or whatever? I don't know, because we're watching people using their bodies, their arms, their legs, and not just a thumb on button A and a thumb on button B or something like that. So, again, showing my age. That's all I needed to play Pong, you know, back in the day. So,
how do you think you would do with video games today, Pat?
Oh, awful. Okay. Absolutely awful. Okay. We had a Nintendo Wii for a while.
Ooh.
And I'll tell you why. And then, Kristen, if I run out of time, don't let me forget to ask about the weekend Dr. Kristen Lyerly show. But when Mason was born, our oldest grandchild, 18 years ago, I remember seeing a news report about how, you know, hey, if you're a grandparent, you should start to learn some of these video games so that you can play with your kid. It'll be a great bonding experience and everything else. So we thought, okay, let's do that. Let's try. And, you know, so again, we're talking 2007, 8, 9, something like that. And the games were somewhat manageable. And at some point it was just, you know, Mason, have a good time. Come upstairs for some cookies when you're done, because there was just no way to keep up with what you have to do with these things now. I miss Pong. I miss Ms. Pac-Man. I don't want to have to use, you know, three different fingers here, two here, and two toes, you know, to try to make sure that I'm firing in all the right directions or whatever it is I'm trying to say here.
I have tried, and when my kids are like, no, Mom, they ate one on the side. I just can't keep up with it. I can't do it.
No. So, again, it's not that it's not a talent. It's not that it's not something that you'd like to watch for a minute or two, you know, but I also know people say that about baseball, and I would watch baseball all day long if I could. So it's just a matter of what you're used to. Hey, look, I left enough time to hear about the Dr. Kristen Lyerly show. What'd you have last weekend? What's coming up next?
Last weekend, we talked with Representative Ryan Spouty and candidate for state Senate Sean Grurich about the policy of pride, some of the cool stuff that's happening in the legislature right now. Do you know that our LGBTQ plus caucus doubled in the last election? Mm-hmm. And I think I mentioned this last week, 4 out of the 5 elected state reps in Northeast Wisconsin are members of the community. So we talked about that, which was really cool. And then upcoming this week, we're going to talk to Alan Tipple from Men for Choice about why abortion is an issue for men too. I think often men are like, you know, this is not my problem. I don't get it, but actually it is your problem and you ought to get it. And here's why. It's going to be a great conversation. My son Abe's going to be there. My partner Craig is going to be there sharing different perspectives on how they approach this issue and why it's important for really all of us to understand the impact.
Has Craig tried to do the video games? Does he do better than you do being an officer of the law and everything?
No. Craig, okay. No. Okay. No, but he's great with his weapon. So that's the important thing for a police officer.
Yeah, the real one, not the A or B or whatever. Alicia writes, esports are brain power. Absolutely. So, I mean,
great kids. I'm just going to stick to watching the Packers and the Brewers, if you don't mind. A local update is next for some of you. If you're hanging around here, Kristen and I will continue to gab for a bit. And then when we all get back together in 15 minutes, we will spend a good chunk of time with Tracy Ann Mangold talking about divisions in the state Republican Party. And in our next hour, Francesca Hong from the Heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota. Thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Here's to experiencing it all this summer in Wisconsin. Every deliciously cheesy, rockin', magical, fireworks-filled, festival-loving moment. There's Cheese Curd Fest in Ellsworth, Strawberry Fest in Cedarburg, Festival of the Arts in Stevens Point, and the Renaissance Fair in Bristol. Honor the Earth Powwow in Hayward, Mile of Music in Appleton, Venetian Fest, Bratfest, Summerfest. So many fests for your whole crew. Find them all at TravelWisconsin.com. Sponsored by Travel Wisconsin.
Look up cheese curds. You'll find this basic definition. Wet pieces of curdled milk.
Huh?
Well, it should also include the word delicious. As we continue to celebrate June Dairy Month, do you know how much milk is needed to make 1 pound of cheese curds? 16 ounces, 64 ounces, or 160 ounces, 10 pounds of milk? The answer coming up.
It actually is a sound of freshness.
Rachel Kerr is talking about squeaky curds. She's with the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin and a bit of a cheese nerd.
Those elastic protein strands rub against the enamel of your teeth and create that characteristic sound.
The squeak turns stretchy when battered and deep fried. Some believe the idea to fry globs of cheese happened by accident. I consider it a happy accident. Okay, did you guess? It takes 10 pounds of milk, which is a big gallon jug plus a little bit more, to make 1 pound of squeaky cheese curds. Call me your curd girl for this slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Snakes, zombies, public speaking, the list of fears is endless. But the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. Distracted driving is what's really scary, and even deadly. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Can you hear me?
Hey, coming up 30 minutes from now, Jimmy Cuska will help us wrap up the weekend in sports, Civic Media Sports Director. It is just about 7:23, and yes, we can hear you, Tracy Ann Mangold and Kristen Lyerly and Parker Olson, all with us here as we continue on a Monday, June the 23rd. In the daily newsletter from Up North News, sign up for it at upnorthnewswi.com. The series on Food Network covering Wisconsin over the years continues, talking all about frozen custard and the difference between that and ice cream. And we mentioned earlier why Wisconsin has a big tie-in to today's National Typewriter Day, because the typewriter is a bit of a Wisconsin invention. So again, sign up for the newsletters. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com. Tracy, how are you today?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Yep. That's all right. No, thank you for being here. Thought of you over the weekend when the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel story came out about State Republican Party Chair Brian Schimming. Now, the Democratic Party just elected a new chair to replace Ben Wickler. The National Democrats recently picked a new chair, and I got to say, Ken Martin has not had the smoothest start to a national party chair. But Brian Schimming is not new in the role. He's been there for 2 years now, and I think he just got re-upped for another 2 years, if memory serves. But he really has become a symbol of the divide between the two different factions of the Republican Party. How would you describe what it is that Brian Schimming is caught in the crossfires of.
I think you kind of have to go back to, like, you know, he's the first paid state chair that they've ever had. And so the belief was that, you know, at that time, of course, I was still involved at the time, you know, with his networking. I've known actually Brian since 1996 when I worked on the Prosser or the Detman Prosser campaign for Congress. And Brian was on Prosser's team and I was on the Detman team. But so we go way back. But, you know, I always thought with his networking, we thought with his, you know, name recognition that he would be able to fundraise. And as you know, as a state party chair, that is one of your fundamental roles. And so I think they felt that, okay, if we make him a paid position, maybe that'll help kind of, you know, increase his ability to fundraise for the state and compensate him as well. Obviously that, you know, has not worked out so well. His fundraising numbers were not anywhere near what they expected. I don't have the stats on that, but that's been abysmal. He hasn't been able to fundraise. I've been told that he thinks 4 phone calls a day to fundraise is a lot, which, you know, isn't. So
no, let me just show you Kristen and Pat's faces as we shake our head. You know, 104 might be a good start on some fundraising days. But so you've stressed the fundraising here, not so much as the Journal Sentinel article from Molly Beck and Lawrence Andrea talks about disputes over the direction of the party and its leadership. But you're saying okay, I was going to say
he
didn't help his cause at all. And then you come into these other divides.
So, you know, when I was still secretary, even last year, because I resigned in July, you know, going into the presidential election year and just 2024 in general, there was a lot of us who were frustrated because there was no strategic plan going into the election year. We kept asking, okay, what is the plan? What are we going to do? Typically the state party chair will have a strategy or have some sort of, thing put in place, you know, whether it's offices around the state, improving, helping the counties, you know, he didn't meet those, needs, obviously. So I think that was a big part of the problem, was people were kind of like running around like, okay, what's the deal? He's going around to all these places and talking, which that's what he's best at. He's a blowhard. He's a talker. And a lot of people will say that he's a blowhard. There's a lot of talk, but no substance. So, you know, then that boils down to the lack of unity in the party. It all kind of, you know, domino effect. It's all kind of a domino effect, basically.
Okay.
Can we talk more about the lack of unity in the party, Tracy? Because you are so familiar with what's happening in the 8th Congressional District. And a lot of it, and the article cites this as well, comes out of the 8th Congressional District. Tell us about that.
And largely that is why I quit, you know, among other things. I think we talked about this last time I was on, the reasons I did leave. And it wasn't just myself. The attacks, now the 8th District... I'm trying to back up a little bit here. If you know, if you remember, Barron County GOP had their charter revoked, right? That set off a fireworks in the state and all the county parties freaking out. Like, what are you doing? You can't do this. A lot of people who didn't know what was happening there, why it was happening, why it was necessary. So that happened. Then you had all this outcry and Schimming was the target for that. Well, then we had 3 counties and we still have the 3 counties up in the 8th district, Okano, Brown and Wapaka, who bucked every rule, every constitutional provision, everything, and snubbed their noses at any sort of protocol within the party. They were endorsing out of, you know, the chairmans were endorsing people. You're not supposed to do that. They were, you know, working against us as the 8th District Executive Committee, attacking us because they were colluding with Turning Point. I mean, and when we approached Schimming saying, hey, you've got to do something about these counties because they're going to tear apart this election. They're going to mess with local elections. They're going to turn a lot of people away. Things are not good. There's a lot of internal strife. And Schimming would not do anything. he was afraid of the optics because as a presidential election, he's like, oh, no, no, we can't get into that. Well, you know, how I describe it is like it's when your child gets in trouble.
That's exactly it, Tracy. Hold the thought. I want to continue this when the rest of the group joins us on the other side of this break. No, we'll continue to explore it here with Tracy Ann Mangold and Dr. Kristen Lyerly. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio. No, not you, Kristen. Okay, I got the break times right, but hitting the buttons seems to be today's thing. We'll be back right after this.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
More money. It is a simple message that state legislators are sending to the governor on the Agriculture Road Improvement Program. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Monday. The program was launched last year with incredible success. Basically, it's monies that will go to upgrading local roads that carry over 15 million tons of agriculture goods from farms to processors every year. Now, Travis Tranel, current chair of the Assembly Agriculture Committee, says the previous round of funding was at $150 million. Now, the governor proposing just $50 million for the program. And Tranel says that's just not enough.
Well, definitely make sure that if we pass a budget that we restore that $100 million cut to ARIP. I think that's ultimately probably the most consequential thing that we can really do for agriculture right now because our infrastructure is just crumbling. We're doing more damage to our equipment on the roads in a lot of cases than we are in the fields, and I don't think that's acceptable. And $150 million spend, that's a big spend and a big infusion. So I would say that would continue to be first and foremost.
Travis Tranel, he's a farmer himself and also the chair of the Assembly Agriculture Committee. He cites some of the application numbers from last year's final round of the Agriculture Road Improvement Program, where 299 applications were made for more than $500 million worth of projects, more than three times the amount of available funding. Tranel says that's an example of why funding for the ARIP program cannot be retrenched.
When hot weather strikes your cattle, milk production drops and feed intakes decrease. Summer heat also impacts the quality of your herd's reproduction. Protect your cows and grow your bottom line. Add BioVet's Bovine Goldlight to your cow's daily ration. Bovine Goldlight keeps the herd hydrated, maintains milk production, and keeps your breeding program in check. Learn more about Bovine Goldlight at bio-vet.com.
Innovation.
Wisconsin soybean growers have a lot of choices when it comes to selecting seed varieties. If you're a seed dealer, help make their choice a little easier by shining the spotlight on your products through the Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. By entering customers in the contest by the August 31st deadline, seed dealers will receive $100 for one grower, $200 for three, and $300 for five or more. Growers must complete an entry and harvest form to qualify. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
With all the action that's coming up as far as county fairs and continued activity at the state capitol, don't miss a thing. Sign up for our daily e-newsletter. You can do it at MidwestFarmReport.com. I am Farm Director Pam Yonke.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Partly to mostly cloudy with highs in the low to mid 80s today, and then we do have a chance of thunderstorms later this afternoon into this evening. Some of those could be strong to severe with hail, wind, even a tornado possible. So stay weather aware later today. Scattered thunderstorms mid 60s tonight, showers in the mid to upper 70s tomorrow. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now it's 80.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Todd Michaels joins us now.
I have to give a shout out to Oshkosh. It's a very underrated city.
There was also a restaurant there I really liked. I don't think it's there anymore.
Yeah, Vitaly's was great. I may have gone to like a prom dinner there or something like that back in my day too, Pete.
A little calzone before you tear it up in the dance floor.
Yeah, there's nothing better than wearing a tuxedo and a little calzone in your cummerbund. Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Matt and Air on Air.
From articles that I have seen, if you are a bagel purist, you should not toast your bagel. I think nothing's better than a toasted bagel and a schmear.
Folks, can we have a moment of honesty? Do you really like bagels, or do you like the schmear that is transported by them? Get rid of the stigma. If I walk into this room eating cream cheese out of a tub with a spoon.
Why is that wrong?
Matt and Air on Air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Civic Media News Director Charlie Pittman joins us to cover all the weekend news. And then we're talking ticks in hour number two with entomologist PJ Leash, the bug guy. Don't miss it.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
I think there was supposed to be some bumper music there, but we might have a little problem over there in Madison. So we're back here with Dr. Kristen Lyerly and with Tracy Ann Mangold, and we are talking about what's happening in the Wisconsin Republican Party, starting with the 8th Congressional District in Northeast Wisconsin, where Tracy and Kristen hail from. And Tracy was a party official with the Republican Party there for a number of years before stepping away. Now there's talk that State Republican Party Chair Brian Schimming may be ousted from the job. And Tracy, as you've given us the background on this previously, Schimming was not a very prodigious fundraiser, especially compared to somebody like, say, a Ben Wickler. Yeah. But to me, the larger issue is that you have these county parties that break away and decide to do things on their own because they see Donald Trump doing it. They see him breaking the norms, breaking the rules, breaking the law, and it works for him. He wins elections. He gets to do whatever he wants. And so they think, well, why shouldn't we do the same thing? And somewhere along the line, you and maybe Brian Schimming and maybe others have to say, there still need to be rules and there need to be consequences for breaking the rules, or else why are we even a group?
Exactly. And I think, you know, when you've got Trump doing whatever he wants, like you said, it legitimizes everybody from the, you know, top down. And that's what you have with these people. And I believe the Brian is afraid of there. That's a lot of it is there's fear. I mean, you've heard some of the people in Congress saying, well, they're afraid. Then why are you there? Right. And, you know, he said he won for Trump. He did not win for Trump. Trump won Wisconsin. Trump had staff here. Turning Point largely won it for Trump. But Brian Schimming and the state party did not do their job. And I mean, I'm not speaking in favor of that, but I'm just saying the facts is that they did not do their job. And, you know, with the counties too, there is no outreach. There's typically a lot of communication. He's a horrible communicator. You know, Andrew Hitt, the prior chair, was a great communicator. I feel he left too soon, and I know why he left, but, you know, he had a touch that he worked with the county parties. He was, you know, out there about with us, in his short time. Brian seems to be above that, or think he is. And right now, from what I hear, he is fighting the call to resign. You know, they did not want him in again this last term, but at that time there was nobody else. I think Brandon Malley, the former state party or county chair from Dane County and also a Turning Point executive, I think he recently is resigning from that post. But there was talk that he was going to run. And obviously that would have been worse. You don't want Turning Point because that's their agenda to take over. So it was kind of the lesser of two evils is from what I heard, which obviously was not a good one.
Tracy, let's play this out because we know, and you know better than anybody, that across the state, there is a lot of division here. You've got this kind of ultra mega wing. That's what we see in the 8th CD with Brown and Oconto and Waupaca counties. And then you see the other folks who are, they're pretty mega. I mean, they're Republican, but there's a giant division there. How does this come to, how does this resolve as they are looking at a new leader for the Republican Party, and who could potentially step in here?
That is a good question. At this time, I don't know. I honestly don't know, because the factions are so deep, you know, within, and I can only speak to the 8th district. So, but, you know, the counties there, you know, I'm out of touch, obviously. There's some people I'm still very close to who are longtime friends, but in terms of the county parties up, like say Marinette County, they have a new chair and now she's gone and now they have an interim chair. My mom, longtime Republican since age 17, she's 88 now, she resigned from the Republican Party because she is so upset by what's going on. And I've said to people, they're probably getting sick of hearing this, but you know, President Johnson said, when you've lost Cronkite, you've lost the country. And I likewise with my mom and the Republican Party, when Shirley Kaufman leaves the Republican Party, something is very, very wrong. Because she is the one that you stand up and you fight to the end. You fight. And right now, I don't think there is a solution.
Let me game this out then in terms of, you know, the Trump wing of the party and how far they're willing to go to get whatever it is that they want. And I'm going to put it to you very simply. If or when Donald Trump says, there's no reason I can't run for a third term, I'm going to run for a third term, there's going to be a block of Americans who are going to say, yep, bring that on. Do you think that's going to be the, you know, the consensus of that particular group of Wisconsin Republicans as well?
That I don't know.
It's a look, I get it's a damning thing to say about our friends and neighbors, but I mean,
it's scary because when you look at the comments on social media, right? You know, when Trump does something, they're still unified behind him. I mean, there's some that aren't. There are some that aren't staying with him. But what bothers me are the people that are staying with him and the legislators that are. Now, we're talking about, of course, there's no checks and balances on him right now. But in order for him to actually do a third term, the only way that, you know, it's not constitutional, but the only way that they could is a constitutional convention, which I've been talking about. It's a very long reaching event that you'd have to cross a lot of, you know, T's and dot a lot of I's to get to. But from what I've heard, there is active movement trying to get what 2/3 of the states to sign up for it. And then we'd have a massive problem because they could go into if they have a constitutional convention, there are no rules, there are no barriers, nothing. So they could come in and say, oh, well, while we're here, let's cross off the women's right to vote. Let's cross off this. They could totally dismantle the Constitution. And yeah, I know I'm getting into the weeds here, but it's something we have to have in our heads, in our minds, and be prepared. That's the thing I'm telling people is, this is not scare tactics. This is just being prepared and being smart and being educated.
And that's where I feel like I am coming from the left side of things, is that if there's a group of Americans that want to go there, then we're going to go there. And we're going to finally address the Second Amendment, which was written for muskets. We're going to make sure that money is not defined as free speech. We're going to enshrine women's reproductive health rights. So yeah, there's people that want a constitutional convention to go way over to this extreme. I'm willing to go over to this not extreme, this place where most people are, and say our country would be in a better place if we would go there. So I don't know. I think this, I've listened for years about calling for a constitutional convention. I don't think they understand the degree to which they're playing with fire in a country that would be forever divided.
Right. And right now is not, you know, right now, the leadership that's in place, it would be complete disaster if such a thing were to happen. You don't have anybody with any shred of common sense in this administration that, you know, gives a rip about the effects that would have. Look what they're already doing with our medical, with everything else, insurance, what have you. So I don't know. It scares me. I pray to God it doesn't happen, but it is something that I worry about because the ramifications of it, it's not something to be taken lightly.
But let's go back to the grown-ups in the room. Who are they in the Republican Party, and who might step up if Brian Schimming were to resign? Who could be the leader of Wisconsin's Republican Party?
Honestly, I don't know. I mean, I have people inside that are staying in to kind of hold the wall, you know,
hold the door. Yeah.
Not because they want to be there, but because of the fact that, you know, they're hoping that maybe they can see some stuff through and then get out. But I honestly don't anymore. I mean, you know, Paul Farrow, you know, he's had health issues. He was chair for a while. If he were 100% healthy, if he would come back, if he could be chair, somebody like him, you know, I don't necessarily agree with all the policies, obviously, with the party anymore, because I'm no longer in the party, but he's a decent man. I like Paul. Like I said, he's had cancer struggles. I hear he's doing well, but if he could get healthy, he'd be what I would, if I were going to say for the Republican Party, he would be the common sense person to get in that place. I would probably suggest get a separate fundraising person, because I think that you have to be, you have to have a special chops to be able to do that. Ben Wickler is, you know, one of a kind in that regard. And so I don't know. I think the Republican Party, I don't have a lot of hope for it. I think it has to be completely decimated and then re-brought up, which is what I'm trying to do in the other groups that I'm working with. But this current incarnation with what they're doing, they're not doing anything to help their counties, to help their people. They're just letting everything run ragged.
Kristen, let me follow up with your point there. Are you saying that it might have to be somebody who thought they went away and they come back in? Much like Ben Wickler was from Wisconsin, but he had all this national experience that he brought back to the state. Is that what you're seeing in a Mike Gallagher or a Paul Ryan or somebody like that, that you think might be where the Republicans have to go next?
They won't go there. I can guarantee you. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but they won't go there. They won't. No, not even the more sane Republicans are. Paul Ryan is a little bit less. Mike, I can't see Mike coming back for that.
Well, that's what I was wondering if Kristen was going to think the same thing. It's like once you go, it's like this isn't Godfather 3. They're not going to bring you right back in. You know, it doesn't work like that.
This seems like a consequence of the strategy that Republicans are using across the country. This fear and division that's been sown just creates chaos and doesn't make people feel like they belong, doesn't inspire people to step up and lead. It's almost like the leaders are the people who feel just like they have to do it because nobody else is going to do it. I don't know that that's the kind of leadership that has the vision that I want to be involved with. I want leadership that sees a future and says, let's create these things. Let's solve these problems. I just don't know where that comes from in the Republican Party in Wisconsin right now.
And you're right. I think the division is such that the real fear right now is if you get somebody who's a turning point person ends up being chair, then we're even worse. You know, I mean, even worse than with Brian Schimming. I mean, I'm at a loss. Like I used to be able to tell you, I could tell you a while ago, you know, who I would think, who I could tell you, I can't even name names who I'd like to see because I don't want to speak for them. But like I said, Paul Farrell's probably the least, like the best choice at this time that I can think of. I'm sure there's others out there. I just can't think of them.
I think it's a commentary on extremism in politics, and you see to a lesser degree on the Democratic side as well, that good people who might want to do these kinds of things, they have no desire to, because they see that you know, moderation is currently punished in so many political circles today, and it is just a crying shame. Tracy Ann Mangold, former top official with the 8th Congressional District Republican Party, thank you very much for helping shine some light on this.
Hope I did.
Well, as best we could. And Kristen's got a busy day ahead in the nation's capital, telling stories on this Dobbs anniversary. So we'll look forward to hearing more about that on Friday, I hope, Kristen.
Absolutely. We'll talk soon.
All right. Coming up next, a local update for some of you. Jimmy Costco will be along for the rest of us to talk sports. And in our 8 o'clock hour, we're back together and talking to State Representative Francesca Hong at 8:30. Again, these are your mornings powered by Up North News, live from Lake Wissota. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Voting Rights Lab reports there were 59 state bills introduced on proof of citizenship for voter registration this year, and 160 bills concerning voter ID. A handful have made it near the finish line, but not all have passed. Since President Donald Trump's baseless accusations of mail-in voting fraud in 2020 and his unfounded claims of widespread non-citizen voting in the 2024 election, Republican-dominated legislatures have raced to pass stricter voter ID and proof of citizenship laws, despite no widespread abuse of either. In New Hampshire, versions of SB 218 were advanced, requiring submission of ID and proof of citizenship for absentee registration, and are now in a committee of conference. In Texas, a high-priority documentary proof of citizenship bill died without action at the end of the session. In Texas alone, there were 15 bills introduced to provide documentary proof of citizenship and 10 tightening voter ID laws. Nevada Governor Joe Lombardo surprisingly vetoed a bipartisan voter ID bill attempting to codify a widely supported ballot initiative. Democrats negotiated expanded ballot drop boxes in exchange for supporting voter ID. His veto statement said the bill did not address implementing voter ID for mail-in ballots. Wyoming and Indiana passed proof of citizenship earlier this year. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. For the last few months, Governor Tony Evers has said repeatedly that he would make a decision about whether or not to run for a third term after the state budget process is completed. In a recent opinion column at the Recombobulation Area, I made the argument that the decision that Evers should make should be to not seek a third term as Wisconsin's governor. This argument is not one of ideological differences or policy disagreements. Tony Evers has been a good governor and has served the state well. This more has to do with Evers' age. He'll be 75 years old in November 2026, and about how the Democratic Party has had a massive, inescapable problem in its unwillingness to pass the torch to the next generation. Tony Evers needs to do what so many other Democrats have struggled so mightily to do and step aside when the time is right. And after Joe Biden's catastrophic 2024, this is a conversation we need to be having, and we need to be having it now. Democrats can't keep repeating the same mistakes over and over. It's time to do things differently.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
Mommy, can I sit in the front seat just this one time? Please, please, please.
No, not yet.
But why?
Because I love you, and you're just not ready yet. Now, get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Civic Media Sports Director Jimmy Cusk is here, too, to talk a little sports on this Monday, along with Parker Olson, Pat Kreitlow here in Chippewa Falls. Although, while we've got a moment here, I want to take you all behind the scenes as far as what's been happening here, because I told folks early on that I had a daughter who came out for the weekend with the two little ones, 6 and 3, and I could not believe, I knew they were going to leave sometime during the show to get, they've got a long drive ahead of them. They were very quiet, got it all done, and my daughter texts and says, hey, we're ready to go. So during the last commercial break, I brought the kids in to say hi to everybody. So Parker, you got to see the, you know, the little one, you know, the 6-year-old, the 3-year-old waving, and that 6-year-old, I put the mic back on mute during the commercial, but I wanted to make sure you knew, Parker, that, you know, Teddy came back up to the microphone and he looks at you guys and he goes, it's nice to meet you. So Just sweet, sweet kids. So now they're on their way, and I'm not crying. You are. So Jimmy's here, and we're going to talk a little baseball here. We're actually going to talk a lot of baseball pitching, because Jacob Mizrowski on Friday taking a perfect game into the seventh inning. You know, after five innings of no-hit baseball in his debut, Jimmy, I don't know what you say other than we are watching something special.
You know, he already got the call to the hall. They sent his hat to Cooperstown. So we know that we can be hyped for the Miz, right? We can be hyped for this guy. I tell you what, following it on social media, and this is something if you're entirely online in your sports experience when you're out and about like I am, covering all these various sporting events that I go to, I'm following this along on social media, and it's rare that you get this these days, but like viral sports moments where they happen, whether it's Twitter, Blue Sky, whatever it is, when it happens in real time, you get so many great reactions to it. And for the Brewers, it's been a long time since we've had something like this with really any Milwaukee sport. Since the Bucks were winning an NBA championship, but everybody was just blowing up about, the pitches, the viral moment when he hits that slider inside on the batter and the batter falls over on the plate. Like it was
oh my gosh,
really,
the
really
corkscrew. Oh yeah. My goodness. Oh. I mean, what more could you want? I mean, if you're his parents, I don't know if anybody has baby books anymore. You take a screenshot of that and you put that in the baby book.
Man, you're looking at the cover, like your phone lock screen, right? That's what you're doing with it.
It was just so crazy, but he's that good. And so now, I mean, yeah, the Brewers are playing tonight. They open up a series with the Pirates at home, and you can catch the pregame 6:05 tonight and 6:05 tomorrow. Yeah, let's get to Wednesday. Wednesday afternoon in the finale there, it's going to be Jacob Mizrowski versus Paul Skeens for the Pirates. Discuss.
You know, I first of all, if as a company, we send people to baseball games, so if this was the one that you would...
Get in line. Parker's got the tickets first over here.
I think I might goodness. Have them. I think I'm very hopeful because I want this game.
I mean, this is going to be hype beyond imagination. This is the, you know, regular season baseball. There's 162 games. I don't know if I've been this hype for a regular season game in a long time that hasn't been like a September clinch a playoff spot game. I mean, this is amazing. You get the two of the best young pitchers in the game going head to head. That is incredible stuff.
Okay, well, now, of course, I got to bring the room down. I did feel this way about regular season games when this kid came up, and he was just phenomenal. His name was Garrett Mitchell, and I thought, well, this is it. And then he got injured, coming back from the injury, and then he injured his shoulder, and now he just re-injured that shoulder doing rehab, sliding into a base a little bit too hard. I mean, look, the kid, he's much younger than me, he's getting the paychecks, you know, so there's no need to feel bad that way, but just how frustrating for him and for the fans that this phenom is probably now had another setback coming back to the Brewers roster.
You know, it just happens that way sometimes, right? Where you just get injury after injury. It's been really disappointing because I think when healthy, it's an impact guy, and that's somebody you really want, but it's tough. Every time you read news about him and Wisdrow too, you know, just seeing his setbacks, these are pieces. The Brewers have been playing relatively well, but imagine them at full strength with some of these guys back from injury. I mean, these guys could really make a difference.
Oh my goodness, could they ever? Let's see, baseball for high school. We wrapped up on Friday, congratulating the state high school boys champions. The girls high school championships took place on Saturday. Can you take us through the state champs there?
Yeah, sure. So girls soccer, it was pretty much dominated by largely southeastern Wisconsin schools. Division one champion was Muskego, two Brookfield Central, and three Catholic Memorial. Division four was the Ozaukee Random Lake Co-op. It was Xavier beating Ozaukee Random Lake, sorry. So you had three schools from southeastern Wisconsin winning state championships, Xavier getting it in D4. Of those champions, two private schools, two public schools, if you ever want to reignite that debate. But a lot of things in soccer, a lot of the sport is in the eastern or southern part of the state. So that's where a lot of the champions are from. a lot of the participants in the state finals as well. It was pretty much a sweep in the state finals, whether it was Eastern or Southern Wisconsin. It's really hard in a sport like soccer or like lacrosse or any of these other sports where you don't have, like basketball, for example, has every school in the state participating.
Right.
With some of these sports like soccer, where not every school has a team, a lot of small schools don't have a team, it is a sport that's going to be largely dominated by the more urban areas in the state. So not really surprising at all that the champions, runners-up, are all from certain parts of the state there. But either way, as the final high school sports championship of this past school year, congrats to everybody for making it. I mean, it's so great to win state in a sport as a player, coach, whatever. It is so much fun as a community to rally around that.
Yep, and then the NBA season ended last night. Oklahoma City handily defeating the Indiana Pacers in Game 7. But the bigger story for Pacers fans, Tyrese Haliburton going down with, I guess they said you could basically hear his Achilles pop at that point. So he may be gone for a while.
Yeah, I mean, with him and Damian Lillard and Jason Tatum, everybody wearing the number 0 is now on watch for Achilles injuries. But, you know, Oshkosh zone Tyrese Haliburton, you really feel bad. Once you saw that, your heart sinks to your stomach. You never want to see that with anybody. But, you know, that's the way it's been in the NBA. There's been a lot of Achilles injuries, and hopefully he bounces back from this like the others.
Jimmy Cuska, thank you so much. We'll talk to you Wednesday morning.
See you Wednesday.
All right. Thank you. Coming up in our next hour, State Representative Francesca Hong and Jane Matinere and the updated forecast from Brittany Merlot. I'm Pat Kreitlow. You're up north. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Israel and Iran are trading missile strikes after the U.S. bomb attacks on 3 Iranian nuclear facilities over the weekend. We heard from the U.N.'s atomic watchdog this morning. CBS's Remy Innocencio.
The quote here, given the explosive payload utilized and the extremely vibration-sensitive nature of those centrifuges down there, very significant damage is expected to have occurred.
Top Trump administration officials have insisted the U.S. attacks were not intended to oust the Ayatollah, but President Trump may have a different perspective. CBS's Natalie Brand.
He says it's not politically correct to use the term regime change, but if the current Iranian regime is unable to make Iran great again, why wouldn't there be regime change?
Scorching temperatures will spread out in the east today. CBS meteorologist Rob Marciano.
Today, 96 in New York, 99 in Hartford, and 100 degrees down in D.C.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.